Let's go to the book of Mark and the fourth chapter, and let us just focus one more time on the opening verse of the passage that was read, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us cross over to the other side. Father, bless us now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It had indeed been a wonderful day. The disciples and the multitudes had heard the preaching of Jesus all during that day. I wish our imaginations were vivid enough and creative enough that we could picture what it would be like to sit and listen to Jesus talk all day long. It's overwhelming. The master teacher, the master preacher, all this foolish comparing of preachers we do here in the church today, it's nonsense. Here was the preacher of preachers and the teacher of teachers. Here was the word of life itself poured out right through his very being, taking the truths and the kernels and the nature examples around him and creating sermons so powerful that the people had to declare, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us, by the way. Just try to imagine it for a few moments. Listening to Jesus. I can see him there. The shores of the Sea of Galilee, the white sands and the azure blue and the lapping sound of the water and every now and then the breaking of the quietness by birds and the melodious voice of Jesus just overshadowing it all and people sitting awe-inspired and literally pounding with joy as Jesus unfolded to them the truths of God. Thank God tonight for the Word of God, for what it does for us, how it helps us. Don't you feel good having been here all these days? Even those of you who just came today, just don't you feel good? It's just we've got something captured in our hearts now, Benny. We've got something we can live on and think about and talk about, and we can take our tapes home and play them again and continue to feed. It is wonderful to have the gift of God's Word. They'd heard him talk about the parable of the sower. They'd listened as he talked about the various soils. The wayside soil, and some felt that that's what they were. They heard him talk about the stony soil, and I can see some as he talked about that, a tear glistening in their eye, for they recognized, I'm that stony soil. As Jesus talked about the thorny soil, the soil that is trying to grow both weeds and seeds, my brother. There were those sitting there with problems in their hearts and sins in their lives, and they were saying, that's me. He's talking about me. Then as he talked about the good soil, which is the wayside soil broken up, which is the stony soil cleaned out, and which is the thorny soil weeded away, and they recognized that God can take what's left 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and do something with it. Don't you imagine that there were loud amens in that congregation that day? People were saying, thank you, Jesus, for giving me hope that though I am wayside, hope that though I am stony, hope that though I am thorny, Jesus Christ can clean me up. And all day long it had been like that. The parable of the pearl of great price, the parable of the mustard seed that told them that God's Word planted in the life can begin to grow and become a huge tree of power and glory and hope. And again, I hear the people saying, amen. I guess they broke for lunch. I don't know. Man, if I was hearing Jesus preach, I think that would be food enough for me. But maybe they broke for lunch, and then Jesus came back. I always remember an experience I had in Africa. I was preaching there in Malawi and had been up for about an hour, just really going to it by the power of God, and begin to kind of wind down. And as I was winding down, I noticed a huge crowd there sitting out on a big hill, like almost like in Jesus' day. And there began to be a kind of a mumbling amongst the crowd. And I turned to the translator trying to get some feel what was going on. And he said to me, they don't want you to stop. They don't want you to stop. And I begin, because my lungs, I said to him, I've got to stop, I've got to rest. And I remember I brought it to a close, and several, more than several, came down and accepted the Lord. And they said, Pastor, we're going to put you down, put some food in you, and then put you up, and you preach some more. But they enjoyed hearing the Word of God. And God help us, folk. If we ever reach the point where the Word of God does not bring us joy. And so all day they'd heard Jesus. All day they'd listened to Jesus. All day they'd said amen to Jesus. All day their hearts had been turned and convicted and converted and raptured by the Word. But brothers and sisters, sooner or later, camp meeting has to come to an end. Sooner or later, the final benediction is prayed. Sooner or later, the final song is sung. Sooner or later, you've got to start packing up that car and going back to the laboratory of the Sea of Galilee. For truth encased in amens is fine, but life ultimately must become a living example of truth. And the time has come, Carolina, to leave this mountaintop and to climb into the boats of reality and to approach the seas of our Galilee and to see if we can make, by the grace of God, this thing work. It's time to go home. It's time to stop saying amen. It's time to move back into reality and say, Lord, by the grace of God, as good as camp meeting has been, on Monday morning, I got to face it again. But surely, by the power of God, something has happened in my heart that Monday's going to be different. Tuesday's going to be better. Wednesday's going to be victory. Thursday, I'm going to climb to the mountaintop. I've got something, and nobody is going to take it away from me. So there they were. And we serve a wise Jesus. You see, Jesus knows that if we could, at least some of us, we would stay in church all day. Every day. Because at least there you feel a little safe. I mean, I don't know about you. I have been in church services where I have felt, look, if the Lord Jesus would just come now, if he would just come right now, I know I'd be one of those who would go in. And you almost hate to see it come to an end because, you know, waiting back at home, our husbands or wives or family or jobs or situations that bring you fear. And you don't know how you shall prevail. And though you want desperately to be a successful Christian, you're really not sure that you've gained enough. Some of us have to go back home and make some apologies. Some of us will have to go back home and change the way we're eating. Some of us will have to stop going to certain places and being with certain people. We've got to do it or we know we will not be saved. And that's in our hearts right now as we're sitting here listening to Elder Wright. We know we face some difficult situations and we almost wish we could say, Lord, don't let camp meeting end. Just let me stay here. We're like Peter and James and John. Let's build the tabernacles right now and just have church till you come back. But that's not the way it works, folk. We've got to live it on the freeway. And live it in the living room. And live it in the den where the television is. We've got to live it. the day ended. Jesus almost casually said to the disciples, "Look, I'm a little weary. Let's get in the boat. Let's cross over to the other side." It seemed so innocent. The Sea of Galilee is a very interesting place. If you've ever visited there, you know it's surrounded by hills. Ellen White describes it beautifully in Desire of Ages. Because the Sea of Galilee sits in kind of a geographical trough, that is, it is east of the Mediterranean Sea, the surface of the Mediterranean Sea is kind of like this, but the surface of the Sea of Galilee is kind of like this. And so as you move to the Sea of Galilee, you actually have dropped several hundred feet. And because of this odd topographical trough, in the evening around the Sea of Galilee, when the sun sets and the cool air, the hot air that has been over the Sea of Galilee, begins to rise up, because nature will not stand a vacuum, then cold air rushes beneath, and of course the end result is winds, very strong winds. And as this hot air goes up and bumps against the cold air, there comes thunder and lightning and smoke. And it's almost a predictable thing that most evenings over the Sea of Galilee, most evenings, severe, sudden storms will erupt. In describing this particular scene in Desire of Ages, Ellen White makes the point that this particular evening, for some reason, there was an unusually severe storm. You see, I want to talk to you from my heart tonight. Satan is angry that some of you have gained a blessing during this camp meeting. He's got some storms waiting on you. Satan is afraid that some of you have really gained some victories. He's got some storms waiting on you. Satan saw some of you with tears in your eyes. Satan saw some of you come down this aisle and stand before this altar on Friday night. He's watched and he's concerned that maybe he's lost his grip. But Jesus also understands that your new victories and your religious experience has no value until it is tested and tried. It's one thing to sit in church and say amen. It's another thing to ride in the boat in a storm and say amen. So as the sun sets, and as the warm air begin to rush up, and as the cold air begin to rush in, they climbed into the boat. He who had made the sea and made the mountains and made the waters, he knew what would take place. He went to sleep. You see, it just gives me a good feeling tonight, folks. No matter what, that's why some of us need to calm down about some of the problems that are bothering the church and the conflicts between conservatives and liberals and debates over celebration worship. We just need to calm down. Jesus is in charge. He's at peace. He's at rest. I don't care how disturbed even your local church comes to be. Just remember, Jesus is always on top of the situation. Let the church say amen out there. Always on top. Always on top. And so they climbed into the boat. And the winds begin to blow. This book has meant so much to me. Page 56. Our Father's Care. I read, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord," listen to this, folk, listen to this, "the Lord is in active communication with every part of his vast dominions. He is represented as bending toward the earth, and its inhabitants. He is listening to every word that is uttered. He hears every groan. You see, Jesus may appear to be asleep. He may appear to be at rest. But he always knows what's happening to his church. He listens to every prayer. He observes the movements of everyone. God has always had care for his people. Christ taught his disciples that the amount of divine attention given to any object is proportionate to the rank assigned to it in the creation of God. He called their attention to the birds of the air. Not a sparrow, he said, falls to the ground without the notice of our Heavenly Father. Oh, folk, treasure these precious words. And if a little sparrow is regarded by him, surely the souls for whom Christ has died are precious in his sight. The value of man, the estimate God places upon him, is revealed in the cross of Calvary. God's mercy and love for the fallen race have not ceased to accumulate nor lost their earthward direction. It is true that disappointments will come, tribulation we must expect, but we are to commit everything great and small to God. He does not become perplexed. Claim this promise. He does not become perplexed by the multiplicity of our grievances, nor overpowered by the weight of our burdens. His watch care, my brother, that home you're going back to where there is strife, that home, sister, you may be returning to tomorrow where there is strife, his watch care extends to every household and encircles every individual. That son you're worried about who's battling with drugs, his watch care extends to that son. Somebody ought to say amen out there. He is concerned in all our business and our sorrows. He marks every tear. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, my brother. Now, I've underlined this sentence. It's precious to me. All the afflictions and trials that befall us are permitted. Are what, church? Permitted to work out his purpose of love toward us. God intended for the disciples to go through a storm that night. I've got to move them from the laboratory of church into the reality of life's experience. I want to find out if what they learned today they can live. He's got to know, folk. Think of the workshops. Think of the morning messages. Think of the things all day long, evening as well, that we have heard. Jesus must know now if this has made a difference in Carolina. He's got to find out. And so the storms must come. They're not his anger. They are his trust. He believes you can make it. He's got confidence in you. He believes that the sermons you've heard have made a difference. He believes that the tears you have cried have cleaned you out. He believes you are ready, and he wants you to have no doubts, so the storms will come. And it came. The boat began to rock back and forth. The Bible says that the boat began to fill up. And bless your soul. You know, it seems like we as human beings never learn enough. Just that quickly they forgot about Jesus. I'm praying for you, folk. I want you to pray for me. We can't leave a mountaintop experience like this and the first trial that comes forget about Jesus. Something's got to be different. When the board meeting gets rough, somebody's got to remember, let's pause and pray. Let's stop tearing each other apart. Come on, Pastor, let's pray. We've got to find our ways to work our way through these problems in Christian manners. Some of us who've been working and praying all these years for some relatives of ours to become a part of this church, we need to take a deep look inside. What do they see in us about this church? It's interesting that the storm came on the Sea of Galilee, where the disciples used to earn their living. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the worst problems always occur on common ground. Most of us who are losing our souls are losing our souls right at home. It's at home we don't pray enough. It's at home we don't study enough. It's at home we don't worship enough. There are too many families at home not involved in Christian service. And I've just named the four pillars of the Christian life: Bible study, worship, prayer, and Christian service. These four things must go on in your home. And here on this familiar ground, the Sea of Galilee, the waves begin to come. They were used to storms there. You would have thought they knew how to handle it. But remember, with every growth in grace, there will be an intensifying of your trials. It's like weightlifting. If you expect to get any stronger, you gotta pick up more iron. And so because of the strength you've gained this camp meeting, God must allow the trials to be more severe. Not to break you, but to strengthen you in Jesus Christ. Jesus had to deal with their desire for credit. See, I would imagine when that storm was rocking that boat back and forth, and Peter and James and John and Matthew and the rest of them were wrestling with the boat, they'd forgotten about Jesus. They begin to kind of bicker with one another and tear at one another. And I'm sure there was somebody like Peter or James who wanted to be the one who found the way to get the boat through. So when they got to the other shore, they could say, "Hey, things were rough until I decided." But God has a way of dealing with us, brothers and sisters, so that when all is said and done, we know only Jesus got us through. No credit for me. It wasn't me that prayed. It wasn't my prayer that turned things around. We were back to talking about the desire for sunshine today. And I told the brother, I got up early this morning and I started praying and the sun began to come through. And the brother said, "It was your prayer." And I thought to myself, I'd like to think that, but a whole lot of folk were praying. No one person is the difference. It is Jesus that is the difference. And if a problem gets solved, Christ gets the credit. And so the storm got so rough that they finally felt helpless. But I believe that the best Christian in the world is a helpless one. Because then you lean on Jesus. It's embarrassing. I've been in situations as a pastor where I wish I had the answer. And you don't have any. And it comes from an unexpected source. I believe that's designed by God. And the Lord has to be careful of us. See, we Seventh-day Adventists, we're hard to live with. We know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We can explain the seven churches and the seven seals and the seven trumpets. And we can explain sevens that don't even exist. We have our grip on everything. We know, are you listening to me? We know so much. But it is not our knowledge does not make us need Jesus less. In fact, true knowledge teaches you that you need Jesus more. And so as they scuffled and wrestled, finally they realized that the boat was going to sink. They simply weren't having success. And now tempers begin to flare. Ellen White describes it in the Desire of Ages. And they begin to get upset with one another and impatient with one another. And as they realized that the boat was going down, then it hit them. Oh, there's somebody else in the boat. His name is Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Ellen White says they begin to call out. And she says, as they called for Jesus, the winds got louder. And as they raised their voice, she says in the Desire of Ages, the winds got even louder. There are times when we reach out to God. Have you ever prayed and felt like you were not getting through? Believe me, friend, Jesus is listening. But sometimes he has to teach us to lose our fronts and postures. Jesus has to teach us to reach out with everything we have. Salvation is serious business. There's some of you sitting under the sound of my voice who are wrestling with habits that are not going to be overcome by normal prayers. Some of us need to wrestle with God like Jacob wrestled that night. And I'm serious about this, my brother, my sister. Some of you have got some problems. You haven't stretched yourself out far enough yet. You've got to make it the most important thing in your life to be saved. They cried out to Jesus. And then Jesus suddenly awoke. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the boat is tossing and turning and it's full of water. And I don't know how Jesus was sleeping in the water. I don't quite understand that. But he was calm until they called. And then he awakened. And when he saw their condition, the Bible says that he just stood up. He just stood up and raised his hands and said, peace be still. But I like the Greek better. He actually said to the winds and the rains and the storm, he said, shut up! Shut up! You weary heart, shut up! You anxious breast, shut up! You disturbed mind, shut up! Calm down! I'm here! I've got control! The winds and the waves obey his will, my brother. God's in charge. As I was reading this, I thought of another quotation. Page 36 of this wonderful worship book. Listen to this. Rest yourself wholly in the hands of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Henry Wright wants to learn that. I want to learn really how to do that. See, I'm a melancholic. I test out about 80% melancholic. We are managers by nature. Melancholics like to be in charge. Now, don't sit there so pious. There's a melancholic sitting out there. We like to feel that we have everything in hand. I'm very process-oriented. If there's a problem, then Henry Wright's got a way. Well, you do this first, and you do that first. And that's the way I establish my comfort zone. And I'm not at peace until I got everything lined up. And I want you lined up with me. But God purposely sends us situations that we cannot manage. Situations where we have to rest wholly in Jesus. So I'm reading you something that's not my victory yet. Contemplate his great love. And while you meditate upon his self-denial, his infinite sacrifice made in our behalf, in order that we should believe in him, your heart will be filled with holy joy, calm, peace. Oh, brothers and sisters, I have learned over these past several weeks that one of the most precious gifts from God is peace. Peace. As we talk of Jesus, as we call upon him in prayer, don't lose it. You've been getting up at early morning prayer meetings here. Don't lose it. You need to pray more at home than you need to pray here. There's so much goodness walking around here during this camp meeting. It's hard to mess up. You've got to learn now to work that stuff at home. Come on and say amen out there. Pray. He is our loving Savior. He will strengthen. His character will appear more and more lovely. We may enjoy, now listen to this. We may enjoy rich feasts of love. And as we fully believe that we are His by adoption, we may have a foretaste of heaven. Wait upon the Lord in faith, she writes. The Lord draws out the soul in prayer and gives us to feel His precious love. And I'm going to say to you, folk, without apology, there are many of us, including myself, in this room who need to learn to rise early and talk to the Lord. There are experiences you will have that way that you will have no other way. The Lord draws out the soul in prayer and gives us to feel His precious love. We have a nearness to Him. We can hold sweet communion with Him. We obtain distinct views of His tenderness and compassion, and our hearts are broken and melted with the contemplation of the love that He has given us. He is like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We can but represent the likeness of Christ in our character and our words. Our deportment produces in others a deep, abiding, increasing love for Jesus, and we make manifest that we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So there they are, wrestling in the boat. You see, they forgot what Jesus said when they got in the boat. Jesus said, "Let's cross over to the other side." Oh, my brothers and sisters, can't you get it? Jesus had already said at the beginning of the boat ride where the trip was going to end. There was no way that boat was going to sink. Jesus had already declared it was going to reach the other side. He didn't say, "Let's go to the middle." He didn't say, "Let's take a boat ride." He said, "Other side. The church is going to the other side." Thank you, Father. It may get rough. The winds may blow and the storm may howl. But Jesus has already seen you, sister, standing on the sea of glass. He's already seen you before the throne of God. The boat is staying all the way on top. It shall arrive. And that gives me great hope tonight. And I got to praise those apostles, because in spite of how rough things got and how bad the storm was, you never heard one suggestion about jumping out of the boat. Somebody say amen out there. Stay in the boat. It may get rough. Stay in the boat. The conservatives may get on your nerves. Stay in the boat. The liberals may embarrass you. Stay in the boat. The young people's music may be a little bit too bumpy. Stay in the boat. The anthems may bore you. Stay in the boat. The chocolates may get tough to chew. But stay in the boat. The Africans may have more votes now than the North Americans, but stay in the boat. It doesn't make any difference whether we have female preachers or male preachers or how they work it out. Stay in the boat. Stay with this church. He said, "I'm taking it to the other side. I've made up my mind. I'm staying in the boat." No more vigilance either. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. No more alcohol and no more tobacco and no more divorce. No more juvenile delinquency. The short will grow tall and the fat will lose weight and the skinny will fill out. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be there. I want to be there when Jesus is crowned worthy. I want to be there when war is eliminated, and when all drugs have been confiscated, and when AIDS is eradicated, and when all pestilence is fumigated, and when human hearts have been renovated, when all tyrants have been subjugated, when sinners in the blood of Jesus have been exonerated, when Satan is dominated, when Christ is coronated, when the saints are elevated, when Jesus Christ takes charge, I want to be there. What do you say? He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to take the book. Thank God He is worthy.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.